with that vague feeling that you'd like to do something to save the world? No, me either. Well, maybe on Sundays or maybe in the shower. But my next guest has taken it upon herself to help fix a problem that affects 1 billion people. And that problem is caused by a little white fly. Her name is Laura Boykin, and she is a TED Fellow, and she's also a kick-ass scientist who hates long sciencey titles. Laura, welcome to Weekends.
Hi.
Well, let's start with those 1 billion people, Laura. You have a particular vision of one of them. Can you describe her to me?
So I've just come back from a recent month-long trip to Uganda and Tanzania, and it really, this whole idea of extreme poverty really hits you hard when you get to actually meet the people that are struggling with this themselves. But for me, when I think about the 1 billion, I do boil it down to one particular person or group of people, really, and it's these women farmers in sub-Saharan Africa that are just the most beautiful people you're ever going to meet in your life. They're there in the farm, in the usually less than an acre of a farm. They have the babies tied on their back. They have a handheld tool, and they are literally trying to grow enough food to feed their family, and that's their mission.
And it's informed your mission too, really, because
it really has.
That image of that woman has been an inspiration for what you do. And what's that?
So I am a computational biologist, and you would never think that that would be a useful thing to help these 1 billion people out of extreme poverty, but it turns out that that skill is needed to help solve this problem of these white flies that you mentioned before, and they're transmitting these viruses that are killing one of the main crops that these women use to feed their family, which is called cassava, and it's a root, and some people have never heard of it, but most people have probably eaten it in tapioca pudding, or it actually makes up the small balls in bubble tea. But it's actually a really, really important thing that feeds 800 million of those billion that are in extreme poverty. And right now in East Africa, there's this massive outbreak that's killing them. And people don't know, is it native to Africa, or did it come in from somewhere else? So we use computers and DNA to figure out what species they have there, and we partner with local scientists, and we just have a really awesome time trying to help these farmers.
And has it always been a problem, or is it something that is getting worse?
So, as far, you know, I read the literature, and then I go see it on the ground, and I listen to farmers. That's one of the things I love to do. And when I say I listen through the interpreter, right? Because most of the time they're speaking Swahili or Lugandan. But they're saying it's worse, so I believe them that it's worse. Farmers are the smartest people on the planet, and they know their crops, and it's getting a lot worse for them.
And this is probably not a very simple question, but how do you fix it? So you're using big computers here to do what with?
So one of the things that if we were going to have success, it would be driving up to that woman's farm and saying, here, plant this. It will give you the max amount of yield. It's resistant to white flies. It's resistant to the viruses. So that it's we are working to get to that stage, right? And the first step is to understand, what does that farmer face in a day, right? Do they have many species of white flies and many species of viruses? Or do they just need a variety that's resistant to one or the other? So the first step is really characterizing what's there so we can identify the enemy. And then there's multiple ways to get solutions for them. One is maybe it's a matter of, what if one time in the year the white flies aren't there? So should they plant their cassava then? Or should they not plant beans next to the cassava, because white flies like beans as well? So there's things like that that we're trying to figure out. And then there's also people that are doing pretty high-tech stuff to modify the cassava to be resistant to white flies and viruses. So it goes from simple things to really complex things, and we're just throwing everything we have at it to help them.
And have you had successes along the way?
So I have to say, when I say we've had successes, I want to say that there's a collaborator and a group of really, really amazing scientists that we partner with, that their success we celebrated as a team, right? So I feel like it's a group effort of success. But this last trip, we went to a farm, and the collaborators had given a farmer group. So usually it's a group of farmers, right? Like a village has a bunch of farms, and they all work together very cooperatively to help each other on their different plots of land. And so we went to one plot of land, and they called it a demonstration plot. And our collaborators had given them a cassava that was resistant to one of the species of whiteflies. And they said, look, we planted this 9 months ago, and today's the day we're going to find out if they have more yield or not, mm-hmm. right? They plant a row of their local variety, and then they plant a field of the improved varieties. And they pulled up the cassava from the improved variety, and there were these massive roots. And
wow.
If you could have seen the look on these farmers' faces, it was like, it literally gets me in the gut every time, because it was like, this is what science is. This is them having more to eat and mm-hmm. to sell and to live, right? It was amazing. It was like, okay, we need that for every farmer.
Yeah. Well, it would be kind of like, it's pretty much like pulling bags of money out of the earth, isn't it? Because you've been over there quite a few times, but one of the first times you went over there, what kind of got you into starting this kind of research?
Yeah, so when I went over there the first time, I saw, you know, we saw the problem, right? For me, we went and we saw, look, these farmers are struggling and they're willing to do anything. At the time, I saw a fertilizer truck overturned, and I saw these men and women, I think the majority of them were men, you know, they were willing to risk their lives to get these bags of fertilizer. So I thought, oh, okay, this is it's a desperate situation. But this last time I went, I got to actually see farmers getting more. Like, it was just, it was amazing. It gave me hope. Truthfully, it gave me hope.
Well, I've seen your TED Talk, and you did a really great job. And these kind of conversations and talks always kind of trigger people and urge to want to help. Is there anything that we can do?
I think the biggest thing is, if it's like raising awareness, right, that there are these farmers that in 2016 don't have enough food, right? So to me, I think that the fact that the first step is, you know, sort of recognition that as a globe, we can do more to help the farmers. And, you know, if people really want to work with me and the team that we work with, they can contact me. I mean, I'm a scientist, right? I don't have one of these, you know, go fund me and do this, right? But
you're busy working away in your lab.
Yeah, if somebody wants to make me a GoFundMe page, no, I'm just kidding. But there are other organizations that are helping farmers in East Africa. So there's an organization called the 1 Acre Fund, and they are fantastic about helping farmers in Kenya with maize and planting and seeds, and they're on the ground. Like, I know for a fact, I've been to farms where they're benefiting from the 1 Acre Fund. So to me, I really strongly believe in that organization. And if people around Perth are interested to work with us and do things that we're doing here in Perth, then they can easily contact me. We have lots of tasks and things that can be done and awareness that can be raised, for sure.
Laura, thank you so much for having a chat with us today. It's lovely to hear your voice and to know that you're doing such a great job, you know, fighting white flies. As tiny as they are, they do a lot of damage.
Indeed. No, thank you so much. And big shout out to your listeners for giving a few seconds to think about this.
Laura Boykin, TED Fellow, and also a kick-ass scientist.
Weekends with Andrea Gibbs on ABC Local Radio.
Do you ever get a second opinion from your doctor? We hear all the time that it's a good idea, but I wonder how many of us actually do it. Up next on Weekends, someone who didn't just get two opinions, she got 9, and she got a cure for her epilepsy.
From Baroque and before to classical, romantic and modern, classical music has remained a timeless companion. Take a journey through the ages with the 1,000 Years of Classical Music CD box set. Available now at ABC Shop Online and ABC Centres and all good music stores.
This is Teddy Thompson and Kelly Jones.